Whatever the adventure, there's a BMW engineered to take it on. The X3 delivers a striking design with agile performance. The 100% electric i4, packed with pure electric energy. Or the plug-in hybrid X5, an impressive, versatile SUV granting full control on every journey. Choose what powers your next adventure during the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through January 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Hey, y'all, it's Chip Patterson from the Cover 3 Podcast, part of the CBS Sports Podcast Network. College football is about to enter its first ever 12-team playoff era, so join me, along with Tom Fornelli, Danny Cannell, and Bud Elliott, as we drop new episodes 5 times a week to close out the year. We've got reactions, bracket breakdowns, and best bets for these matchups with championship stakes. Follow and listen to the Cover 3 Podcast on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Put you down for Dallas -4 just because that's what it is right now over FanDuel.
Here we go.
But yes, I like where you're thinking there as well.
Yep.
Okay, see if they're going to do this, get back in the series. They got to do it on the road, obviously.
Gotta
imagine that
it.
Dallas crowd's going to be hype, ready to move on in advance. So
they did it in game three, so
it's
why not?
To me, it's if you get that same level of Luka, he's shown us Kyrie doesn't have to necessarily be great.
Yep.
Also, shout out to PJ Washington. Just want to continue to do that because.
Yeah.
We were questioning who's going to be the third guy. Dude has stepped up all series long for them and been an absolute stud. So
we haven't gotten the Derrick Jones game yet, though, but that's coming as well.
He's been useful, though.
Yep.
Whether it's played, knocking down a corner three or getting the basket, dude's been a useful role player for them, certainly.
Yep.
And then on Sunday, the game we've talked a lot about today, can't wait for it, to be honest with you. I think we're still to be determined on time because, of course, we don't know yet whether we'll get Knicks Pacers on Sunday, which would affect that time in terms of what the NBA wants to do. We do know, as of right now, the Denver Nuggets for Game 7. Remember, this will be back in Denver. They're 4.5-point favorites over the Minnesota Timberwolves, favored to close out the series in Game 7. Brad, what say you? Whose side are you on? For the game
that
seven.
That is a lot of points in a closeout game. So, because I didn't have the line written down for this one because I couldn't find it.
Up to the date, 4.5.
Wow.
Up to the second.
Because you could see a scenario where Minnesota plays it close and gets in the number there. But I just think the Nuggets are not going to lose this game. There's just no friggin' way they're losing game seven at home with Luka or with Jokic. There's just no way. So, and Jokic will kick ass. He will be the MVP of this series. He will win game seven for himself and for his team. And they will move on to play, I think, Dallas. So I'm going with the Nuggets -4.5.
I don't dislike the pick. My only thing there is if he doesn't have Jamal Murray
at
decent to good.
He's going to go, though. You know he's going to go.
I know he's going to go.
Yeah.
And he's been a gamer because he's been banged up with that calf since last series.
Yep.
And now we're adding an elbow to the mix that he suffered last night. If that dude is 6 of 18-ish, 4 of 16-ish, Jokic can be great. I'm not sure you're getting it done. Minnesota's shown they got a bunch of different guys they can throw at you in terms of depending on for offense. And again, Mike Conley seemed to settle things down. So I like your pick.
Mm-hmm.
I think I would actually lean towards Denver, but as I said, I would not be shocked if we're getting a great performance from Anthony Edwards. And Minnesota's winning because Jamal Murray simply could not show up when they needed him most.
It would be one of the bigger upsets of the year so far in sports if the Nuggets aren't closing out this series, though, and beating Minnesota in a seven-game series in the NBA playoffs. Because I think everybody going into this series, before those two games to lose at the beginning, we thought, So
that it's not Minnesota's time yet. That
it's not their time.
That they'll
yet.
Be taught a lesson by Denver. That's what we thought going into this series.
That's exactly right. Now, Ant-Man has proven to be, I think, one of the best players in the league.
Mature beyond
his
years.
It's just fair. And the two bigs have worked out. And Mike Conley is clearly important. And they're lucky because Mike Conley's going to go in this game. So this is probably out of the three picks, this is the least confident of the Carson confidence index. This is the least confident of the three.
As we've said, fading Brad Carson has been profitable for us this postseason. Brad at 25 and 35, you reverse that if you're fading all of his picks. And again, we recommend you do these individually,
don't
not parlay them. You're hitting at 58.3%. Again, that's a clip that a sharp would be proud of in terms of picking real winners. So we still have an edge here, and we're going to see if Brad Carson can get us back over 60% to where we can brag to the rest of the nation with a 0-3 weekend.
Pressure weekend here.
Feels like we're asking a lot for him to go 0-3, but I think there's some promise in here. There's some chance for it to flip and the faders to win here.
Feels like the lines could come into play this weekend if I'm losing because of these closeout situations.
As we said, though, we stick you to what we said.
That's right.
We've logged it. John was telling me now because I had a question last week about, well, does that go? Do we just give this to Brad now that this half a point has moved out of point?
Right.
No. What you picked on Friday is locked in, so we're good to go. And again, it should be a good weekend starting tonight with Knicks Pacers. Saturday, we mentioned it. Thunder Mavs. Brad's on the Dallas Mavericks -4. I didn't mention it on that first game. Yes, Brad's on Knicks +5.5. That's tonight. And then, obviously, the Denver -4.5 pick from America Square. That is your daily segment of Fade Brad Carson. Be responsible. But no, there are no real edges. Ours is just as good as yours.
That's a PSA right there.
We got more to do in hour number three, including a talk I'm really looking forward to with Jonah Dillon, Commercial Appeal beat writer, covers Tigers football for the Commercial Appeal. He's been covering a lot of everything lately. I got to give him props, even a little bit of Tigers basketball. So a man that can do it all. We're going to dive deep into Bill Conley's rankings yesterday of the group of five teams that can make the college football playoff, into position groups, strengths, weaknesses for this Tigers football team that feels like it's got a great opportunity in front of it this year to not only win the American, but to quite possibly be the group of five representing the college football playoff. We're going to talk some Tigers football in hour number three. That and a whole lot more. You listen to Jason John, 92.9 FM, ESPN. Live Love Memphis Group at the Real Estate Agency. They're the group you need to call. You want to get every single dollar you can for your home, the most money possible. Jennifer Carstensen and her team going to do that for you, promise you that, and have done it, both for me, for the Vannemans, for our man Contar Macklin, for so many others, James Home Run, McKenzie, so many others that we've sent over to Live Love. Jennifer will knock your socks off with the job that she does and how she makes everything so simple. That was certainly the case for me. I had a bunch of sort of preconceived thoughts on what it was going to cost to get my home on the market. Thought it was going to cost me thousands. Then I'm already underwater. It was one of the reasons why I didn't call sooner. And that number, 625-5200. I'm so glad that I finally did, though. She said, dude, you got this all wrong. Here's what we're going to put into the house. It was not thousands of dollars, what I could afford, basically. Here's what we're going to sell it for. She did it in 6 days. That was in a much different market 5.5 years ago. She's still adding to her team now because she's been successful through every market. So, again, if you want to get the most money for your home but also want to find your dream home, she did that for us as well. You call 625-5200. Jennifer Carstensen's a great woman. Built a great business. And she, again, is not just in this for herself. She's trying to improve Memphis, get you out of those rentership situations into ownership situations. That's how you improve this city. That's what Jennifer Carstensen is doing. So give her a call. It's the Live Love Memphis, Live Love Nash, and Live Love DeSoto teams at the Real Estate Agency. I will say up front here, we'll get to Jonah Dillon, the Commercial Appeal Tigers football beat writer, about 125 or so. Looking forward to that conversation. I will say, I was not prepared today to have a conversation about Sean Diddy Combs, but I feel like we must at this point because there is breaking news over at CNN, which has acquired CNN, a 2016 surveillance video that they have obtained that shows Sean Combs, known as Diddy, P. Diddy, whatever you call him these days, grab, shove, drag, and kick his then-girlfriend, Cassie Ventura, during an altercation that matches allegations in a now settled federal lawsuit filed by Ventura back in November. And so, you know, this incident, there had been a federal lawsuit filed and settled, but now we see the video, and I got to say, it's the kind of stuff you see and you say, oh, it's over for him.
Oh, there's
because
no doubt about
Cassie
it.
Is on the ground.
It's awful.
She's not even putting up a fight. She's not trying to. You wonder if she's even. I suppose she is conscious apparently because you see her get up. Puffy also drags her back to the room, but he kicks her twice while she's down. This is after Pierce throwing her to the ground. She's defenseless.
Yeah,
and he's still raining down with the kicks or whatever else. And I don't, you know, I don't even need to hear anything about. Well, you know, what did those kicks do to her? This is a. You know, this is what he's been accused of, and until you see footage of it, I guess you can tell yourself while you read these stories about Puff and everything else, well, it's one thing to read all this bad about him and all everything he's been accused of. It's another thing, and it was in the Ray Rice case with the NFL, the former running back.
Yep.
When you see it, it adds a whole nother level to things in terms of the way we feel about it, in terms of the severity of the allegations, just I think the way the nation now will sort of consume the story going forward when you can put the video with it. I don't know how this man, number one, is going to be out walking. Again, civil suit settled, but now that you've got the video, I don't know why there wouldn't be criminal charges, even if Cassie's not the one pressing him. I'm not sure there. Again, it's, you know, where you are, what state, all that's going to matter. But, again, this video is pretty shocking. And it's not, again, it's 2016, so it's an old video that's just popped up. I had never seen it. CNN has obtained it. I'm sure others now have probably got it as well. This is, the first I saw of it literally was while we were in the break there, and it was an Anthony Sane repost of CNN's breaking news here, and Sane was tweeting what I was thinking as I'm watching it. This guy's done.
It's toast.
And we saw, too, you know, in some cases where R. Kelly had civil suits settled, and tried to put some of the, you know, some of what he'd been accused of to bed early and try to get out ahead of it. A lot of that stuff still leaked out. He had people in his own crew ended up, you know, turning on him in a way and telling the cops what's going on. And that was part of the downfall in terms of at one point he's controlling all this, right, mm-hmm. with payoffs and everything else. Eventually it becomes too big. Your actions, in this case, Puffy, you've got video of this. You know, it doesn't matter what you've gotten settled before. You could have those criminal charges filed later. And, again, a guy that, you know, at one point you're looking at as an entertainment mogul, Bad Boy Records. You know, he's on there with Big, Notorious Big back in the day. I mean, a guy that you just held up in terms of businessman, everything that he accomplished with Sean John. A lot of times, man, these guys get in these positions of power and they lose it. They get on a power trip, think they can do or get away with anything. And clearly, if this video is an indication, Puffy was at that level where he thought. I got no patience. And maybe this is just me, but I got no patience, no time, no nothing for men who beat on women.
Oh, it's the worst. And the video is disgusting.
It's
and
the worst.
It's a, and I'm glad that this video is out there because, you know, the lawyer now has issued a statement saying this is an unprecedented ambush, okay? And
because they thought all this was going to be put to bed
see this with Trump right now, right? There's all this stuff that he thought was sort of buried, right? There was a payoff that went on. There was a settlement. So somebody gets paid for this stuff to go away, and then you don't see these videos. But the problem with Puffy is that there's other women that have been going through the same thing time and time again 8 years later. So where does it stop? You know when it stops? When you see a video like this. It's the Ray Rice thing, right? How many times have we said if without the video, there's no...
Changes the whole dynamic of the conversation.
So it changes everything when you get this out there. So somebody, this is heroic in a way because you're probably saving women from going through the same crap, and he's in the middle of this litigation now. So not to go through it too far with you, but you nailed it. When you see the video, it's game, set, match, man.
Again, it's over CNN.com. The deal with the Ray Rice situation, once that video got out, the NFL had to deal with it differently.
Right.
It's one thing when it's just in print, you're reading it in newspapers or whatever else. It's another thing when that video came down, and as a result, Roger Goodell had to be moved to, like, not just swift, but... You know, pretty harsh action.
Right.
You know, because you saw the change, the whole dynamic of the conversation, and sort of then what you're held to as those who would hold him accountable and responsible. In this case, you'd figure it'd be law enforcement.
Right.
Like, this is clearly an assault. You know, yes, civil trial can be done. And Ventura, who is getting beat up in the video, she's been reached out to by CNN about Again, she's got this has been settled. Mm-hmm. She received an undisclosed settlement from Combs about it, but was reached out to here after the release of the video. She had no comment, but her attorney said the gut-wrenching video has only further confirmed the disturbing and predatory behavior of Mr. Combs. Words cannot express the courage and fortitude that Ms. Ventura has shown in coming forward to bring this to light. Again, just to put nuts and bolts on it, CNN's reached out to Combs' camp as well, and obviously have not heard back
from
them.
Did you see in the story, too, it says that he paid the Century Hotel there, the Intercontinental, $50,000 for that hallway security footage to try to get that.
Gosh!
So he was even trying as far as to get that footage.
And you're only trying to do that because you know what it'll do to you.
Yeah, you want
to
get a hold of that, too.
Whether it's him or R. Kelly or, I guess, Weinstein there for a while, I mean,
yeah,
their ability to keep these things covered up for as long as they did, right? It speaks to the power that they had grabbed onto, like in terms of, you know, what you graduate to in terms of money, power, influence, that you were able to have these situations, keep them covered up for, in some cases, what was with R, clearly appears to be the case with Combs, for years. And they not come out about you, and you're still held up in your spot, even though behind the scenes, you're literally doing the work of the devil. And I would tell you in this case, again, from this video, that's what Puff's doing. I don't care what she said. I don't care what the circumstances are. There is never an excuse. What does it do? Make you feel like a big man? Again, it's a reflection of your power that you can feel like you can give out a beating like this, and you're not going to be held accountable. I hope Puffy is held accountable for this. Whether Ventura decides at this point she's going to talk about it or not. I understand her part of this. She may feel like it's been put to bed. She got it done. She got money. She got a settlement for it. But this is going beyond civil, I would think, at this point. At some point, I would think it's up to a police department who's ever in charge to, again, much like we said with Roger Goodell, you're forced to action now because this video is so graphic, because it's so in your face. Well, you're just going to let him walk? No criminal charges? So, got to imagine. And he already had the feds at his house, you know, investigating stuff. What was that, weeks, couple of months ago?
Yeah.
Like, he was already in hot water. So,
trafficking was listed.
Like this,
bad stuff.
Something like this can just be the tipping point, finally, where, you know, even with R. Kelly, all of his power, you know, in this case, Sean Combs, all of his power, it ends up being the tipping point, because now you're going to have all of America saying that Puff deserves to be behind bars for the way that he treated this woman. So, again, breaking news, wasn't something I had planned to talk about today, but huge news over at CNN acquiring that video. And I don't know any way that you look at that and you're still defending Puff. There's nothing to be defended there. And as Brad pointed out, I think the actions of trying to go out of your way to get the video itself. You realize what you've done. You realize what that video could do. Man, what's done in the dark, I've always believed what's done in the dark is going to come to light.
You know.
Always, it always is. You're not going to get away with this. And so I imagine Puff's going to have some knocks on the door, some calls from the authorities here as they follow up on this video. We'll see what happens. We're going to talk to Jonah Dillon next, the fantastic beat writer, Tigers football beat writer for the Commercial Appeal. Should be, if I'm not mistaken, we'll ask him about this, entering year number two for him. So we'll ask him about his time in Memphis, too, as well, and because he was coming from a news background, if I'm not mistaken. He's done a fantastic job so far on Tigers, and man, what a time to be covering Tigers football right now with the position that they're in, really on a runway with the possibility of taking off, not just winning the American, but maybe representing the group of five in the college football playoffs. So a lot to discuss with Jonah Dillon as it relates to Tigers football. We'll do that when we get back. You're listening to Jason and John, 929 FM, ESPN. Tigers football beat writer for the Commercial Appeal. But he's also covers Grizzlies. And if I'm not mistaken, looks like he's covering some MMA. I saw him tweeting about Memphis baseball the other night. So he's a man of many talents and many interests. You can follow him on X at The Jonah Dillon. Read him at commercialappeal.com. He's doing a fantastic job, like I said. And correct me if I'm wrong, Jonah. I went back and looked. Will it be a year in July? Once we get to July that you've been here? I know what second season going into on the beat. But about a year in July since you've joined us here in Memphis.
Yeah, it was end of July. Man, it feels like in some sense it feels like it's gone really quick. And then I look back on all the things that have happened in that time, and it's like, wow, I can't even believe it's been less than a year. But coming up on couple months that 1 year anniversary. So,
and then,
yeah.
Well, welcome again. I mean, and welcome to the show. I've been obviously reading you and a fan from afar, but happy to have you here in Memphis. And just before we get into the sort of what you cover and anything, everything else, tell me a little bit about your background. Now, I understand you come from Hartford, right? You'd covered government up there, and then in Vegas you'd covered breaking news, so a little bit of a transition from the news side to the sports side. What got you so interested in covering Tigers football or sports here in Memphis?
Yeah, I did. I was always interested in sports coverage, and like you said, I did a couple different things, and I was looking for something when I lived in Hartford. More sports-wise, and this opportunity came about. And then, of course, once I got here, and obviously, you know, one of the biggest stories in Memphis has been the stadium funding. When I got here and my editors learned, you know, they knew that I had experience covering government, so they said, perfect, you can go cover city council meetings, you know, good thing we have you ready to go. And so that's how I ended up doing that. It's been amazing so far. Like you said, it's been totally different for me, and the change of pace, just the cadence of sports coverage and how things operate, and kind of getting to know this city through that. But yeah, it's been a big difference, but I really enjoyed it so far.
Well, real quick, I'm curious of your view through your lens of the city. I'm sure you hear things about Memphis before you get here. It's the elephant in the room. Clearly a city that has crime issues. You see that every night on television. I'm curious, how is it compared to sort of what you've heard? And in terms of your downtime, how out and about are you in the city? Just your thoughts on the city itself. When you're coming from Hartford, you've been in Vegas. What's Memphis been like for you?
Yeah, it's been I definitely didn't have a lot of downtime during the football season, so I've been out a little bit
working
more recently.
Yeah.
But But it's totally different. For me, it's different to any place that I've experienced before. You know, when I drove here from Connecticut, it was the first time I'd ever been in the South in my life. And so getting used to people's accents, yeah, and the cadence of how people, like, I feel like I'm still getting used to it. But Memphis definitely, the one thing I can say that I noticed right away is Memphis has an identity more so than other places that I've been in. That's not to put down other places, but it's very distinct. And people care about this place, and they're very protective of it. And it's something that you see, like, it bleeds into sports, but also, you know, it's outside of sports, and it's kind of interesting to see how those things, because you hear about, like, people talk about, oh, grit and grind, that's more than just the Grizzlies, it's the whole city, and you don't really understand what that means and how that kind of, like, looks until you're actually here and you see how people interact with things and with sports teams. So it's been cool to kind of learn through some of that stuff, both through sports and just being around in the city.
Well, you've been a great addition. We've enjoyed your coverage so far. I got to ask you, I mean, it feels like you're coming in, like you said, at a really good time. I mean, you had everything going on with the stadium. You're now at a point where, you know, this program is controlling that stadium. It's got the renovations coming. Just saw, you know, we got the news about the NIL commitment from FedEx. Ryan Silverfield's got a contract extension. Oh, by the way, his fourth-year starter is back at quarterback. And so it really feels like, Jonah, it's a program that's in a position, obviously, to take off maybe in a way that it never has. I mean, you have this opportunity in the college football playoff if you win the American. So your timing couldn't be more right. It couldn't be more perfect in terms of what you're covering and maybe the national relevance the Tigers could have. I mean, don't you feel like going in this thing, and I know we've had some numbers and some win totals coming out, that this is the clear-cut favorite in the American we're talking about, and if we are talking about that, then we're talking about a possible shot at the college football playoff. How real is this?
Yeah, I mean, it's definitely real. I think like you said, this is a huge moment for this program. When you look at the history of not only this program, but just the way that college football is operated, right? To have an opportunity legitimately to make the college football playoff or to make whatever the highest level is even before the playoff, that's never really existed for Memphis before and for a lot of programs. Right. And you take that, which is like this incredible opportunity that, by the way, we don't know how long this opportunity is going to last.
Exactly.
Because we know that there's going to be a new playoff. We don't know if, you know, you see all these things about a group of five playoff, whatever. Is Memphis going to get into a different conference? Like, we have no idea what the future is going to look like. But we do know that this season, Memphis has guaranteed access to the playoff, which it has never had before. And then you stack on top of that all the other things you talked about. Like, this is actually the year, if you look at, you know, how Memphis has operated for the past couple of years, this should be the best team that they have. So this is the year that you would want that guaranteed access. with Seth Hennigan coming back, with all the guys they brought in through the transfer portal. So all those two things really aligning this season mean that, you know, I'm trying to go back, and I know, like, obviously, as we just talked about, I haven't been here for a very long time, but this feels like this season for Memphis is different than any other one they've had in terms of football, because you're just, the expectation, the realistic expectations for what could happen this season are higher than they've ever been throughout this program's history. And obviously this is a program that was really bad for a really long time, right? And we think of it recently as being like a pretty successful program, which it has been, but, you know, longtime fans obviously will know that this program was not that for a really long time. And so this kind of rise of the program coinciding with the way the playoff is expanding kind of worked out perfectly going into this season.
Dude, you nailed it. You didn't need to be here long to nail it. It's the best position this football program's ever been in. And I told you, texting when you and I was asking you to come on, I can't remember. And again, I'm, you know, a fan of the program, covered a little bit, you know, I was on the basketball side mostly, but I can't ever remember this level of excitement. And to the point that you made, you know, realistic goals and possibilities here for this Memphis football program. So I think you're spot on about the spot that it's in right now. We'll just kind of go through it. Offensively, this team was good last year. I went back and looked at Bill Connelly's SP Plus rankings, the finals last year, just to remind myself they were top 10. They were number 10 in the country in offensive efficiency. We know the defense was a whole other story. I'm just curious, Jonah, based on, you know, what you've sort of chronicled in terms of, and you mentioned it, that Ryan's brought in, you got a Mario Anderson come from South Carolina, you know, to go with Seth, you got your two receivers back. Do you expect this offense to be more explosive, to be at just as explosive? Sort of what are you expecting? Again, you got a guy that's I don't know how many programs have got a fourth-year starter at quarterback. Just how good do you expect this offense to be?
Yeah, I think it should be really good. I mean, that's no secret, the expectations in terms of that. Obviously, Seth Hennigan, in terms of returning production, is, as you saw, a couple of those lists come out preseason. Returning production-wise, he's one of the best quarterbacks in the country, yep, just in terms of what he's already done. I mean, he's already Memphis' all-time leading passer in three seasons. Maybe that speaks to the history of Memphis football a little bit, like we talked about before also, yep, that he was able to do that, you know, without even playing his fourth season. But, yeah, I mean, Mario Anderson comes in as the leading rusher from South Carolina, and obviously, like, Watson was really good last year, so it's not like you're, you know, it's going to be hard. If Mario Anderson comes in and plays as well as Blake Watson did last year, that would be pretty good, because Blake Watson rushed for over 1,000 yards and was really successful. So I think that's a big addition. I think Rock Taylor is somebody who probably going into this season, at least returning-wise, is the best receiver in this conference. He had pretty much a breakout season last year, and I think should be better this year. Obviously, him and Seth Hennigan have been building chemistry. They've been together for 4 years, which, again, that's another quirk of this team, is you have guys who have been in this program for a long time, which is just something that you don't see in college football anymore, especially at a group of five program, right? If you have guys that come to a program like this and they play well, they're usually gone. And obviously, we've seen it in Memphis. We've seen it in other places. But I think when you look at those three guys right there, the offense is going to be good. The offensive line is going to be interesting, and that's a storyline to watch throughout training camp, because the offensive line was pretty good last year after not being good in 2022. They lost a lot of guys, and they brought in a lot of transfers. And so kind of figuring out that pecking order is going to be something to watch, because that's one of those things throughout the season where if you go through the whole season, you find that you haven't really talked about the offensive line. That's right. Usually a good sign. And that kind of was what happened last year. But with a lot of new guys coming in, it's going to be interesting to see, you know, who ends up in those positions and how that all kind of shakes out.
How much are we going to find out, Jonah? Because you've, like we talked about, you've got a guy, Seth Hennigan, you trust him so much. He's out there and he's going to get a ton of reps. And, you know, maybe at the end of some of these games, because you were so explosive offensively, you'll have some time to look at a backup or something. But in terms of, like, and I don't want to get too far ahead of myself because I want to ask you about the defense and we'll focus on this year, but in terms of finding out, right, the backup or the future, how confident are you that that guy's on the roster? Will we even see him this year? And then I realize, too, they're involved, you know, with a top 15 quarterback prospect. I believe it's A.J. Hill. You can correct me if I'm wrong. Sort of what's going to happen when Seth's gone, I guess, is what I'm asking. Not trying to get too far ahead, but wondering, too, if any of these guys are going to get time this year to even see.
Yeah, no, I mean, it's a good question. Obviously, anytime you're going into this season where you know that your quarterback is going to be gone next year, I think the guy that I would watch, you know, there's kind of this three-way competition for a backup quarterback. The name that comes up the most is Arrington Maiden, who's a freshman, who's still 17 years old, by the way, doesn't turn 18 until July. The ideal plan for him would be to win the backup job redshirt this year and be Seth's backup and then go into next season with a quarterback competition obviously to come, but expecting to win it. And I think it's clear to me that Memphis ideally would like to find a quarterback who can play for 4 years. Like, they don't want to have to go through the transfer portal. They don't want to have to go find a new quarterback every year. Brady White played for 3 years and Seth Hennigan played for four. Yep. I mean, I guess there's not a lot of programs that have had two quarterbacks in 7 years, especially in this day and age, right? So I think he's someone to watch. And then A.J. Hill, like you mentioned, if they manage to get him and it is very real, that interest, that doesn't mean like he's going to come. But it means that it is a very it's possible that happens and almost likely at this point, but so much can change with recruiting and decommitments and things like that. You know, if he were to come, part of the reason that he's interested in Memphis is because there's going to be an opening next season. Yep. And you look at a lot of these other programs, maybe there's not an opportunity to start right away. And he probably looks at it as, okay, if I go to Memphis, like, I can play as a true freshman, which, by the way, Seth Hennigan did it, and he played for 4 years. So, and that helps you. That helps you in recruiting. So I think it's going to be interesting how that kind of works out.
Talk with Jonah Dillon, fantastic Tigers football beat writer for the CA. Make sure you're reading him at commercialappeal.com. All right, we talked about the offensive side, and like you said, I'm right with you. I think the big storyline, they've got the weapons. It's going to be about how that offensive line comes together. On the defensive side, you've got studs. You got Chandler Martin coming back. He's all AAC. You know, another transfer portal guy you got from East Tennessee State. They're pulling the leading tacklers from Tennessee. Elijah Herring going to play linebacker next to him. So it feels like, I mean, in terms of, you know, got, obviously got, you know, a significant amount to replace, but he's got some really good, you know, and at least potentially replacements for them. We know they've got to improve significantly. I mean, I think it was 111 last year, Joan, in those SP Plus rankings on the defensive side. It looked a lot better under Jordan Hankins against Iowa State. How much improvement does there have to be, and how much do you expect on that side of the ball?
Yeah, I think there has to be a lot of improvement. I think the secondary has to improve a lot, and you're going to see different guys in there last year than this year that we saw last year. A couple guys have left, obviously. What's going to be interesting to see is what the defense actually looks like, because Jordan Hankins changed everything
in
3 weeks.
Yep, tell me about
it. Yeah, so you come in, and I think he had seven practices, and he basically changed the entire defensive scheme, and it worked really well. Part of it is, and you know, coaches say this, and it's, you kind of take it with a grain of salt, like, they went and played Iowa State, and they showed him a completely different defense. Iowa State was sitting there watching film for a month of Memphis' defense, and then they started playing the game, and it was completely different. Now, you got to give Memphis credit for executing that, because that easily could have, you know, gone down the drain pretty quickly when you're trying to tell guys to do something like that. I think the defense is going to change again. I think it's going to be built around Chandler Martin, and he's going to be a hugely important player for the whole team. I mean, if this team is going to be successful, he's going to have to play at that level again, and maybe even better. And I think the linebackers, you know, Jeff Kanarku was really good last year. He's obviously gone. But like you said, Elijah Herring comes in. There's a lot of linebackers coming in. So that's not where I would be worried. I think there's a lot to figure out in the secondary, and there's a lot to figure out up front. Those are the two places that need to improve. And I just think that the scheme, seeing how that actually turns out, is going to be really interesting. What do they look like when they come out? Jordan Hankins has talked about potentially changing things up game to game. And obviously, doing that the way that he did it against Iowa State, you wouldn't count him out. So I think it's going to be really interesting to see how they change everything and then how that comes together kind of as the season develops.
In terms of the rest of the conference, Jonah, and I know, you know, it's not fall, and we won't know for sure on some things in terms of, you know, who's playing positions necessarily. You know, we've got transfer portal guys and stuff we expect to see at Tulane and everything else. I'm just curious, in terms of the rest of the conference, and I don't even know if I want to use threat as the word. Frankly, you need whether it's the two lanes, the South Florida's, the UTSA's, to bring something to the table so that, you know, if you are running the conference, if you are the American, it actually means something, as opposed to, you know, if you're in the Mountain West, you know that schedule is going to be a little bit tougher in conference. I'm just curious, is there a threat in conference? I think we both agree Memphis should and will be the AAC pick to win it. But in terms of those teams I mentioned, Tulane, we know under a new coach, but they hit the transfer portal as well. Who are you expecting, you know, to give Memphis a run for the title? Who would even be in that group?
I think Tulane. I think I'm a little bit surprised, to be honest, that it feels like, especially in the past couple months, and obviously, you know, no one is playing games, no one's winning championships in the spring. I kind of expected that going into the summer, it would be more, okay, you could pick Tulane, you could pick Memphis. Whereas it feels to me now, and obviously, you know, we're coming at it from the Memphis market, but it does feel to me like that ESPN list, I think Tulane was down at number 8 or something, that Memphis is going to be picked ahead of Tulane. Now, obviously, Tulane has a new coach and a new quarterback, but they brought in a coach who was very successful at Troy and John Sumrall, and they brought in a quarterback, Ty Thompson from Oregon, who was a 4-star guy that a lot of Oregon fans thought was their future quarterback.
That's right.
And it's not like he played, you know, it's hard to tell with some of these guys when you're a highly touted recruit and then you don't really play and you go somewhere else. You know, what did they see in practice, or was it just opportunity? So I think that Tulane, and they've brought in a lot of guys. They have a returning running back, Mekhi Hughes, who's probably would be picked to be the best running back in the conference, certainly the best returning running back. And so I think Tulane is very serious, and you've got to consider them a threat, and they're a team that's been more successful than Memphis over the past couple seasons, obviously. And then the other one is South Florida, because I think that they improved a lot last year with the first-year head coach.
Agreed.
Brought back a lot of guys, brought back their quarterback. Memphis has to go play at both of those teams, which obviously makes it more difficult. And I think those are the two teams. Obviously, SMU leaving the conference, you know, that means that there's another high-caliber team in this conference that's not in there anymore. And UTSA is probably expected to go back a little bit because they lost Frank Harris, who was their quarterback, for such a long period of time. So I think that Tulane, it'll be interesting if it comes to the season and Memphis continues to get this hype. I think Tulane is going to kind of fly under the radar a little bit, because I'm still expecting that to be a pretty good football team.
And then how, I know, again, this is something we're going to have to work through, and maybe the, you know, the Mountain West is a deal where it eats itself, but how concerned are you, I guess, in sort of dovetailing off that last question about the AAC, that your, you know, your conference strength of schedule is going to be something that's good enough? Like, will Memphis have to do more because its conference is weaker than a Boise State would in winning its conference? You know, can it have a couple losses as opposed to Memphis doesn't need? How worried are you about the Mountain West, Boise? I know some have thrown Liberty in there as a possible team that could beat you out for that group of five spot, if you're winning the conference, in terms of being that highest ranked conference champion. When you look at the Mountain West, whether it's Boise or another team, and at Liberty, how much of a threat are they in terms of taking that spot from you?
Yeah, to me, Boise State is the team that I would look at, and that I would pick. Like, I think if you're picking a team, you know, whatever group of five team, obviously ESPN put Memphis number one. I think a lot of people have picked Boise State, and Boise State has a lot of things going for it. It has Ashton Jenny returning, a running back who's one of the best players in the country, straight up. He's the best player in the group of five coming back. It's amazing that they kept him. And then they brought in a quarterback in Malachi Nelson, who, you know, I keep saying this, but he was the number one quarterback in the country last year. He was ranked ahead of Arch Manning. And those two guys, you know, that, and not only are they going to be really good, I think, but they're getting a lot of national attention. They're going to continue to get national attention because you have guys of that caliber, which is going to help you. Because I think one of the things that's going to happen this season is that these group of five teams that are competing for that playoff spot are going to get more national attention than they have in years past.
You're right.
Because people are going to be interested in a potential playoff team. And that's going to affect how teams are viewed, right? If you're getting a lot of attention, and I think the teams that are getting the most attention and will get the most attention are Memphis and Boise State. And I just think, like, I think Boise State, if you look at their schedule, they have a tougher schedule than Memphis.
Yep.
They go play at Oregon, which you can compare to Memphis going to play at Florida State, both teams having an opportunity to potentially have a huge win for their resume, but not one that if you lose that game,
right,
it's going to take you out of consideration or anything. And then they're playing these Mountain West teams, and they're playing Oregon State and Washington State, and probably you look at that schedule through and through, and it's a tougher schedule. So they've got a huge opportunity. And then you never know who else is going to come forward. I think Liberty I think Liberty, with what they did last year, we've seen in the past the committee, especially with Group of Five teams, kind of penalizing them or rewarding them for things they did in years past, yep. which is, I don't think it's fair, but I think that's what they do. And I think because of the way that Liberty, you know, was a controversial pick because of their strength of schedule last year and the way that they played against Oregon in that game, I think it's very hard for me to see the committee picking them to be the playoff team, as long as there's another team like a Memphis or a Boise State that has a good resume. I just don't see Liberty being the team, even if they were to go undefeated. Now, obviously, it depends on who the other teams are and how they win and what they look like. But if I was a Memphis fan trying to root against other teams, the number one team on my list would be Boise State, especially at this point.
Could not, I mean, in terms of thought process, the way I'm looking at this thing, could not be more aligned with where you're at. So I feel good about some of the way I'm feeling to have it sort of confirmed by you here, having now covered this program so closely for a year. Last thing I got for you, just maybe a transfer portal name that maybe a little bit lesser talked about, maybe a guy we haven't touched on that you feel pretty good about is going to be a big impact guy or a guy that's going to be, you know, crucial for this team that maybe we hadn't talked about. You got one off the top of your head? I know I'm putting you on the spot.
Yeah, I think obviously Elijah Harry mentioned, I think Reggie Grimes.
Grimes, yes.
Who is the defensive end, because like I kind of touched on it before, but getting pressure on the quarterback was not a huge strength last year. And that's something that I'm sure Jordan Hankins wants to improve on. And so you go bring in a defensive end who played at Oklahoma and was a pretty highly touted recruit. Obviously, I think that's a big deal. I think there's a lot of competition at those positions, and it's going to be interesting to see how he kind of fits into that. But if Memphis can get a pass rusher who's consistently getting to the quarterback and kind of changing things up for opposing offenses, I think that's going to be a huge difference maker, and he could be the guy. So that's what I would say now. Obviously, I can't wait to see how practices go once they start at the end of July and into August, and then we'll have a better idea going into the season. But there we go.
Jonah, I can't wait, man. And you're doing a fantastic job, brother. Can't tell you how much I appreciate your time.
I appreciate you having me on. I appreciate you saying all that.
Yes, sir. He is Jonah Dillon. Make sure you're reading him over at commercialappeal.com. And if you're not, give him a follow for sure on X. It'll be worthwhile. I promise you that. At the Jonah Dillon. Again, the Jonah Dillon over on X. Obviously, he's got a great grip already on where this program is, where it should be this season. And yeah, I feel like an affirmation in terms of the way we've sort of handicapped this thing for the Tigers this year. I think Jonah believes the same, if not more so. So appreciate his time. We'll be back to wrap it up and hand you off to Giannotto. Jeffrey put you in their capable hands. You listen to Jason and John, 929 FM, ESPN. Leaders Credit Union, so appreciative to them of being our studio sponsor and trusting us to get the word out about them. And it's a word that you need to know about. If you're not familiar with Leaders, you don't know who they are, what they do. They're not profit financial institutions fully owned by members. Operates for your benefits. Got 70,000 plus members in West Tennessee. They're headquartered in Jackson, but they've spread their business. They're trying to grow their business in Memphis. Got the brick and mortar store up in Bartlett Branch, I should say. Got the new one. They've broken ground on a new one in Arlington. And the plan is to have more throughout the city of Memphis. Why should you be aware? Because they've, just like a bank, got full-service banking, including checking, savings accounts, loans, mortgages, credit cards, and state-of-the-art technology that beats those banks. But unlike a bank, they're not out to make a dollar off of you like those banks. They pour all of that money back into their technology to make it better for you. You are who they report to. And so they're here for you. You want to launch your savings, but you're not sure where to start? You can get a Ford Plus high-yield savings account from Leaders Credit Union. No minimums, balance tiers, or restrictions to keep you from adding, gaining. You can earn up to 4.25% APY on your money. To open an account, visit leaderscu.com/ESPN. Use that promo code, guys, whether you go to the brick-and-mortar branch or you're doing it online. Use that ESPN promo code. They're going to waive the membership fee for you. And we're not just talking about what Leaders is going to do. They're putting their money where their mouth is. They'll be a Shelby County Pro-Am sponsor this summer. We'll tell you more about that as it approaches. They got a great Ball into the Bank Youth Financial Literacy Program they're unveiling there. So, again, Leaders is here, and they're here to stay. They're federally insured by NCUA. Appreciate Anthony Sain and Jonah Dillon. Appreciate you, Brad Carson.
Glad to be here, man.
Yes, sir. Faye Brad
terrific
is in
week
effect.
Again.
Got three games on the dock tonight. We'll get those out there on Twitter. And, again, we appreciate Sain and Dillon for joining us. Make sure to stay tuned for Giannotto and Jeffrey. For Brad, I'm Jason. Go. FM, ESPN. Leaders Credit Union, so appreciative to them of being our studio sponsor and trusting us to get the word out about them. And it's a word that you need to know about. If you're not familiar with Leaders, you don't know who they are, what they do. They're not financial institutions fully owned by members. Operates for your benefits. Got 70,000 plus members in West Tennessee. They're headquartered in Jackson, but they've spread their business. They're trying to grow their business in Memphis. Got the brick and mortar store up in Bartlett Branch, I should say. Got the new one. They've broken ground on a new one in Arlington. And the plan is to have more throughout the city of Memphis. Why should you be aware? Because they've, just like a bank, got full-service banking, including checking, savings accounts, loans, mortgages, credit cards, and state-of-the-art technology that beats those banks. But unlike a bank, they're not out to make a dollar off of you like those banks. They pour all of that money back into their technology to make it better for you. You are who they report to. And so they're here for you. You want to launch your savings, but you're not sure where to start? You can get a Ford Plus high-yield savings account from Leaders Credit Union. No minimums, balance tiers, or restrictions to keep you from adding, gaining. You can earn up to 4.25% APY on your money. To open an account, visit leaderscu.com/ESPN. Use that promo code, guys, whether you go to the brick-and-mortar branch or you're doing it online. Use that ESPN promo code. They're going to waive the membership fee for you. And we're not just talking about what Leaders is going to do. They're putting their money where their mouth is. They'll be a Shelby County Pro-Am sponsor this summer. We'll tell you more about that as it approaches. They got a great Ball into the Bank Youth Financial Literacy Program they're unveiling there. So, again, Leaders is here, and they're here to stay. They're federally insured by NCUA. Appreciate Anthony Sane and Jonah Dillon. Appreciate you, Brad Carson.
Glad to be here, man.
Yes, sir. Faye Brad
terrific
is in effect.
Terrific week again.
Got three games on the dock tonight. We'll get those out there on Twitter. And, again, we appreciate Sane and Dillon for joining us. Make sure to stay tuned for Giannotto and Jeffrey. For Brad, I'm Jason. Go.